This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's a tradition, a job at Goldman Sachs, later U.S. Secretary of the Treasury. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Investment banker and Hollywood producer Steven Mnuchin confirmed this morning that he is the Trump transition's pick for U.S. Secretary of the Treasury. Mnuchin would join Henry Fowler back in the 1960s, Bob Rubin, Larry Summers, and Hank Paulson in the ranks of former Goldman people who went on to the top role at Treasury. Philip Swagel is a professor at the University of Maryland School of Public Policy and was Assistant Secretary for Economic Policy at the Treasury Department during the George W. Bush administration. Professor, good morning to you.
Hi, David. Good morning.
You played, I would say, a major role in handling the last big financial crisis. Do you have a sense of how Steven Mnuchin might handle the next one that is undoubtedly coming? We just don't know when.
At some point, there will be another one. I mean, we can look at his role in the last one, and it was in helping clean things up, right? He took a bank, IndyMac, that was just a disaster. They're a poster child for all the things that went wrong, and he made it incredibly profitable. He worked with the FDIC. He worked with them very closely to help people avoid foreclosure. Now, many people still got foreclosed on, but he did things the way the FDIC wanted.
And moving forward, there's work to be done on the U.S. economy. He was just speaking on CNBC this morning, talking about tax policy as the main mechanism it sounds like he would like to use to bolster economic growth in the U.S.
We're going to cut corporate taxes, which will bring huge amounts of jobs. So we think by cutting corporate taxes, we'll create huge economic growth.
Yeah, it sounds like that's the first focus of the incoming economic team. We'll be on tax reform to spur growth. And Mr. Mnuchin talked about sustained growth, and that seems like the right thing. I think we understand that we've had some good data recently, but overall, the U.S. economic picture has been more moderate than it should be. It's not as good as Americans are used to, and tax reform has the potential to raise our growth rate.
Philip Swagel, a professor at the University of Maryland School of Public Policy, is also a non-resident fellow at the Milken Institute. Professor, thanks.
Thanks very much, David.
In a blast of Twitter activity this morning, President-elect Trump said he will be, quote, leaving his business to fully focus on running the country, with details coming next month. Experts concerned about conflicts of interest want to see details about any divestitures and how arm's length his relations will be with family members who would presumably run the businesses in his absence. If you miss our coverage of that on the air, it's at marketplace.org. We're watching for a possible OPEC agreement today on production limits. Citing unnamed sources, Bloomberg News suggests that the cut will be 1.2 million barrels a day. Crude is up about 7% in New York trading. Our Wednesday market interpreter is Susan Schmidt, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas.
OPEC news is breaking this morning, but other things are breaking this morning, too. So the ADP employment numbers came out. Remember that we have a jobs number coming out on Friday, and this is the precursor to that. It's the information from a private company collecting the data, and that number was very good. They reported 216,000 jobs added, and that's versus expectations of 170,000 jobs.
And also, market participants have to digest the appointments. They keep coming out here today from the Trump administration.
We have Wilbur Ross out this morning, who we expect to be Secretary of Commerce, talking about trade agreements. He's not a fan of the Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement. Trade is a big deal for small businesses and for all of U.S.-based businesses on how that gets taxed, how imports and exports are going to be handled. So all of this becomes a focal point for the market, and that is really going to cause a lot of noise in the market while this gets sorted out.
Susan's at Westwood Holdings in Dallas.
Codebreaker is back with a brand new season. This time around, a new question. Can it save us? We are asking this simple question about a different kind of technology every single week. You can subscribe now on iTunes.
Last year, the Pew Research Center reported more Mexicans leaving the U.S. than coming in, due partly to a tepid U.S. job market. At the same time, more people from Mexico are now moving to other countries. From KRWG in Las Cruces, New Mexico, Simon Thompson looks at why.
It's one of the largest migrations in modern history. Mexicans crossing the border into the United States. But now, an increasing number of Mexicans are heading to Europe and Canada. Isela Montalban is from Tepic, Mexico. She moved to Germany to study for her master's and then put down roots because of the quality of life.
I find here is always there is this balance, you know, with the family and work.
High salaries, benefits like sick and maternity leave.
For Yermans, it's really important.
Montalban now works for an international logistics company in Munich. She says she did look at going to the U.S. to expand her career horizons, but Mexican friends talked her out of it.
They wanted to go to the USA, and you know, in the USA, I don't know, anyhow for me, it's a country, it has many troubles.
Montalban isn't the only Mexican to rethink a move to the U.S. Institute of Mexicans Abroad data show over the past 4 years, the number of Mexican nationals in Canada has more than doubled, from 50 to more than 100,000. And that's true in some European countries too.
I get about like 5 to 10 inquiries from Mexican people every day.
Laura Morales is an immigration agent based in London. Morales struck out on her own 4 years ago, starting a company catering exclusively to Spanish speakers trying to move to England.
I realized that there was a need for legal advice out there, and that's how I started working with Mexican people.
Morales says a lot of her clients have been in the U.S. previously. Many are college-educated, highly compensated professionals and have passed English tests to be eligible. But Morales says while interest is increasing, UK immigration policies are only getting more stringent. From Las Cruces, New Mexico, I'm Simon Thompson for Marketplace.
Details are slim, but the Indianapolis Star, among others, is reporting that about 1,000 jobs will stay in Indiana and not shift to Mexico at Carrier Heating and Air Conditioning. Donald Trump and Mike Pence, the Indiana governor and VP-elect, plan an announcement tomorrow in Indianapolis. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.